Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Okay.
Of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where pimp stands for permaculture is my passion. The only pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, Homestead, honey?
Pretty good. How are you?
Bam, I'm good, honey. And as always, this episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Heaven's Harvest, 10% off with promo code PERMA, but we also got a new one here. Peaceful Valley Farm Supply, also 10% off with promo code PERMA. A lot of people are wondering where we get our seeds that we don't use them. We use them in the initial part of a food forest, that good bug blend, and there's a low-growing good bug blend. I can't say that all, you know, all the, anyway, it's a tongue twister for me. And they got some pasture seeds. They got really good stuff. They're all the way out in California, but those are the ones we use because they got the best stuff. And if you want to tip a pimp, do it over there on the Fountain app. Listen to all your podcasts over there, even triple up the speed. And if you want to drop a derivation of Bitcoin on a player, you know where to do it, right there on the Fountain app. So drop a SAT on a PIMP. Or, well, I better make that plural because you're in here with me, right?
Right.
It just doesn't rhyme if I add an S on the end of it. So it just ain't going to work today. So going over to the farm news, well, I had a really good interview, and it's funny how these things are always scheduled for maybe an hour, but they always go longer, and that was with John and Nicole.
Long did you go? Like, it was like 2 hours, wasn't it?
It could have gone longer because John was wanting, I had to get bouncing after about an hour, but I went ahead and, you know, when you have that conversation, it's a really good one, and you just feel like, okay, man, I got to keep it rolling. It's like they used to do with those songs back in the 70s where they never ended, you know, where the song would be like 3 minutes longer than it should have been, because it's like you just imagine these guys were so bombed out of their mind. They were like, oh, dude, I can't stop this groove. We're just going to keep it going,
I hate songs from the 70s.
Yeah, but now when you do a podcast like that and you're like, okay, we're 2 hours in, but it only felt like an hour. There was a lot of good stuff in there. So go check out John at SOE, Special Operations Equipment. That's on YouTube. And Nicole at Living Free in Tennessee. They both have podcasts as well. So go check them out on YouTube and subscribe. So, wow, what else we got going on around here? There's so much going on. First one I wanted to talk about because other people might be experiencing it too. And folks, just keep in mind, Michelle gets all over me because she's like, I don't even know what we're going
to
talk about.
He tells me to come in here and sit down and talk. That's the instructions that I get. And that is not my strong point, just in case everybody hasn't figured that out yet.
Yeah, but the strong point is that I don't want you to overthink something. So there's a reason why I do that.
So I can't think about it at all.
I'll prove my point. So the first thing I wanted to talk about in farm news is in terms of the sheep losing weight. Now, we had different theories. I was like, what on earth is going on? I thought they had some kind of parasites or something like that. And so we hit them up with your concoction that consists of
Black walnut hull, wormwood, garlic, stuff like that.
Yeah, so it's a big concoction, and we just kind of drench them. And, you know, nothing that's going to kill the soil life. But we go through that, and I'm like, man, what is going on? We got a couple of them here, still ain't putting on weight. I don't know what's going on, but you figured it out. What is it?
Well, I have been trying to tell you since, for I don't even know how long, how many months, the two that are losing, that are not putting on the weight, are the two that are nursing twins. And they're finally starting to wean them off. But I kept telling, and we do not have flat land. Like, it's especially the part where they're grazing, and the part where they lost all the weight was where it starts to get steep. So I was saying that they're going up and right. They're going up and down the hills. They're nursing. They're like, they just, nursing is extremely hard on the body.
Well,
so,
and these guys are already eating, but the, it's like a bodybuilder. Like, I'm talking like the guys that put on lots, and girls also that put on a lot of muscle. I remember being back in the Army, and I didn't understand it at the time. There was this guy, they called him Slick. I mean, he was maxed out on, it's funny. They drug test you for marijuana, but they didn't check for steroids. So my man was absolutely, you know, I mean, he was muscle bound. And every time we'd go to the beach or whenever he would do PT or whatever, he would say, man, I'm burning too many calories. And I didn't understand it at the time. But as a bodybuilder,
yeah,
he was, you know, when you're going on 10 mile runs, that's not conducive for putting on weight. So,
but he probably also, if you like look at the diets of bodybuilders or especially power lifters, it's their full-time job to eat.
Yes. Yes.
To put on that much. And when you lose weight and to have to gain it back again, you've got to eat quite a surplus of calories.
Well, and that's where we are with these sheep right now, because I'm like, I don't even get it, man. What is going on? Lord, please provide us answers. And she, Michelle had it. I mean, I was just sitting here thinking, man, what is going on, man? We got plenty of forage out here. I don't get it. But I was thinking, okay, I'll just put them in the freezer early, man, because I don't get it. But anyway, that's one of the things going on. You had another little thing that you just, I've been trying to get Michelle to, because I'll be honest with you, folks. We have, like so many of you out there, but man, from dawn till dusk, we're moving. I mean, we don't sit down and watch shows. I mean, if we're lucky, we might squeeze in an episode of Somebody Feed Phil.
Yeah.
Because it's happy.
Yeah. You know? And then it just makes me hungry at 9 o'clock at night. And then I want to go eat.
Not me, but it just makes you happy. And plus I keep a Netflix subscription because I want to know what the programming is. That's why from occasion I watch Fox News, I watch MSNBC, but anyway, I keep them around. But that's the one lately. There's been a couple episodes that were a little bit woke, but by and large, we don't watch TV, man. We're working until it's time to go to bed.
Yeah.
And here lately, that's, you know, and this time of year, it's just what it is. So we sometimes feel overwhelmed, like so many of you out there. And we're like, okay, we got this, we got this, we got that. And I just kind of talked you into it yesterday. Like, okay, you got little projects you can get done. One of them being planting out those planters on the porch.
Right.
Yep. Which make you happy because, I mean, I've never been really a flower kind of person.
Well, you weren't raised with my mom. So
boy, you got that right. Because her mom.
You would love flowers if you were raised by her.
Yeah, everybody has their part. I mean, it's never, I've kind of grown into it. I'm not into planting them myself, but I'm absolutely into looking at, you know, what you put together. But you did something that was unusual and extraordinary this time out. We're going to have to do a video on it, but why don't you just kind of give a brief synopsis of what you did in those boxes?
Well, I have the planter boxes that go on the railing of the porch. There's like four or five of them. And it's a little late to be getting flowers. It's like June. So you were supposed to have your flowers months ago. So when I went, they didn't have the best selection. And I had already planned on putting basil in some of the boxes because I had started entirely too much basil and I had to use it up somewhere. So I already knew I was going to put basil in the boxes, but then I went to go get flowers and there was hardly anything left. So I got the main part of the, I got the center flower for the box. And then for the other fill-in areas, I just selected herbs. I've got stevia, oregano, garlic chives, just a bunch of stuff that, I mean, I've got plenty of oregano around, but they had a hot and spicy one that I wanted to try. So I got that. I can't remember, maybe some parsley because I don't have any of that right up close to the house. So I just did a fill-in with a bunch of different kind of herbs.
That's the beautiful part about what you did is that you essentially made a beautiful herb garden right there in a planter box on the porch. And I was really, really taken aback by it. There's another experiment I want to do too as well, because in those planter boxes, I'm not so sure it's grounded. I'm wondering if I can take a ground wire from each one of those and then bring it down below, knowing what we know about grounding now. I'm thinking, I mean, it's going to look a little unsightly if I don't find a way to make it look pretty.
Well, okay,
I can probably get a white wire and put it on the back side of it, but I want to do that. And I'll bet you 10 to 1 that things will do even better, because when they're in an uninsulated pot and then you got paint on the actual railing, I wonder if it would help. I mean, that's something we'll have to talk about later. I'm just kind of bringing that up to you right here on the podcast. But what I love is that, okay, in permaculture, you got zones. Imagine, now they're not going to be perfect in terms of, imagine concentric rings around your house. Your house is zone zero, okay? And then you got zone one and then all the way up to zone five, being wilderness. Now, I'd like to think that there's zones between zero and one. So I call zone, what you have on the porch, zone 0.5. Like, let's say you have a greenhouse attached to your house. I'm going to call that zone 0.5. And the way you should design is technically start with your house, which we'd never have.
No.
We've never. I mean, folks, we still don't even have our own pictures on the wall for the most part. No. I mean, we don't. What this place came furnished with, it's like no matter where we live, we really don't put a whole lot of stock on the inside of the house.
No.
I want it functional. But we put way more effort in everything from the porch and on.
On the outside. Yeah, we put up raised beds on the outside. We started working on our gardens before we started working on anything else.
Right, because everything was functional. And that's really all. I mean, we're a little bit too, well, I don't know if it's a bad thing. It's just we're more centered on what happens outside than what we have on, you know, on the inside until as of late, you know. And I've done a lot of, maybe I'll get into that a little bit, but yeah, what I love about what you did is that you made zone 0.5 beautiful and very, very functional all at the same time. She didn't even tell me that you were doing this. And then when I saw it, I was blown away by what you did, because we got a lot of this stuff already out there in our orchard and the food forest and stuff like that. So you can go out and get it.
Right.
But I'm cooking, like when I did those, I did some roasted potatoes.
Yeah.
Those organic potatoes I did. When I did those, because our potatoes aren't ready yet. But when I did those, how cool would it have been for me to just walk on the front porch and get what I needed in terms of herbs?
Right.
And I still could have done it, but I was like, it was an impromptu thing. Dinner is also one of those things that we usually don't plan until the last minute, unless we got a whole house full of people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just me and her. And then we might cook one day, like we cooked steaks the other day and they'll last for several days.
Right.
And then it's usually just steak and pretty much there might be a starch in there in these days, because I don't trust, like if you buy rice, it can't just be any rice and you're thinking it's gluten free. When I listen to Gary Brecka, actually Eric Sider made me aware of it. And it was what they're doing with the rice, where they fortify.
Yeah, right.
It's fortified rice, and that's the last thing on earth you ought to be messing with.
Anything that's fortified, anything. Really. But they fortify almost everything. Cereals, bread, a bunch of that stuff.
And it sounds like a wonderful word.
Right.
But it's really the worst thing in the world. So I'm like, okay, can't just go get rice off the shelf anymore. I got to go get some organic rice that is not fortified. So we're being really, really, I'm staying away from gluten like it is a freaking poison, because it is for me.
Right.
And sugar, I got to be really careful in that department as well. So, you know, like last night, I woke up with a little bit of a headache, and I know why, because you can even eat the sugar-free stuff where it's sweetened with monk fruit or whatever. but you can only eat one. You can't eat.
Yeah, you can't eat the whole box.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay, there ain't no sugar in this. Yeah, I didn't eat the whole box, but I ate. I got these chocolate covered cashews and some that are almonds. And when I eat one or two, that's cool. But it's like, man, if I got to feel awful,
yeah,
if this is the price, man, as getting older, you know, I'm just going to not even fool with it.
Yeah. If it messes with my sleep or I feel terrible, it's gone.
Well, it did that to me to a certain extent last night. And so I'm not going to make the mistake. I mean, you know, I had a perfect dinner and then turned back around and, you know, ate some of that stuff on the back end. So I'm not going to make that mistake tonight. But let's see here. What's some other farm news? Okay, so we got a PEMF mat.
Yep.
And it stands for Pulse Electric Magnetic Frequency Mat. And we've told everybody what we were going through. Now, I want to kind of give a synopsis on that. The dirty power. I'm trying to find a good way to tell the story on this so everybody else out there can replicate what we've done without breaking the bank. And without a doubt, you're probably going to have to spend $100 on a meter. At the very least, that's what you need to do. And I want to make sure that I have a video because we've had so many issues with dirty power. As you know, every single morning, I'm going in with the meter and it's real simple. Anybody can use this thing. You just basically plug it into your wall outlet in multiple places in your house. And then you get a reading off of it. And the reading is going to be in millivolts. Now, depending on whom you ask, anything below 25 millivolts is good. You ask other people. Under 100 is decent. Well, I've been going through and I told you before that the fluorescent lights were the culprit.
Right.
What did I tell you this morning? I found out was another culprit.
The
router.
I thought you had said that. I thought it was something different this morning.
No, it was the router. It was the router. It's it's not that it, not only is your router in your home, folks, I'm going to prove this when I do the next video, but I want to make sure that it's concise, simple, and that I don't talk too much electrical jargon that I lose anybody. So I'm trying to find a way to break this. I'm not talking down to anybody, but folks, there's a lot of you in a career. Let's say you're a plumber. You're going to use certain terminology I'm not going to get. Or if you're an IT person, and as Michelle can tell you, you're going to be talking a language that I don't get at all. But same thing when I'm talking electric terms, I got to be able to break it down in such a way to where I can convey the information because it's more important. Y'all, we view everything. Everything. And we even pray about this, that we view business and everything we do, any success we might get as a byproduct of just doing good, positive stuff, looking out for other people. And that's been our business model from day one, that whatever we do, whatever gain we have, whatever we do, it's served us well. And the Lord has blessed us greatly in so many different ways whenever we're obedient. And that's exactly what I want to do. So I guess I took a long-winded way around saying that you got culprits in your house, folks. And what we found out, your TV, even though it ain't turned on,
right,
it is putting off EMF. Okay, I've proven it. I've even done a video on that. Your router, not only is it putting off RF problems, it is dirtying up the power in your home. So the worst thing you can possibly do is leave your cell phone on and leave your router plugged in. Need to unplug. It might be a pain in the butt, but I'm telling you, you're going to sleep better. Other culprits. You got a computer. Unplug that thing and turn it off. I'm dead serious. Other things that you may not suspect. Obviously, your lights. That can be a culprit, as I've talked about before. It could be a printer that you have plugged in.
Right. And a lot of this electronic stuff, we just turn on and leave it on. Like the printer and the laptop. Sometimes I'll shut my laptop down, but a lot of times I just put it in sleep mode. But it's still same with the printer. Even if it's in sleep mode, like
even if it's plugged in,
right,
it's creating problems, and I can prove it, and I'm proving it. And it's, folks, I've been doing this for days and days and days now, and I'm collecting enough legit information to where what I want to do is make a video where I'm like, okay, plug it in your house. Now, here's how you troubleshoot and find out where the problems are. You may have, it could be as devastating as like a refrigerator going out. I mean, who's got money to go buy another fridge right now?
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, but it could be poisoning all of the electricity in your house. And I'm taking the advice of James from Strand Farm and also Nathan Reynolds, both of whom recommended a book to me that I'm slowly getting through right now. Being a journeyman electrician, you think I would have already known about this information, but I'm finding out about it myself. And y'all, before it's all said and done, when I put my brain to something and I'm determined, I am an autodidact. And a lot of you out there are autodidacts. Michelle is an autodidact. Go look it up and find out what an autodidact is. They tried to, they're basically trying to exterminate that word. All of the founding fathers were autodidacts. Many of you are out there are autodidacts and you don't know what that is yet, but find out. But anyway, one of the things I talked about, the PEMF, Matt, pulse electric magnetic field. Okay. When all this crazy stuff was happening to us, which we discovered was, I don't know for sure yet, by this weekend, we're going to know, but, and that's another story altogether, but I was told by this engineer that we were probably, this is a very secular kind of guy, very secular. And he is very well known, written books on a lot of this stuff. I don't want to give his name out yet because I haven't been given leave to do so, but I am going to interview him at some point. And when I was trying to find out, because I know there's a whole lot of scams out there when it comes to red light therapy, when it comes to PEMF mats, all these other things, I'm like, dude, I ain't got 5,000 bucks to be throwing around on the one that Gary Breck is selling. So let me reach out to this dude. And I've talked to him over and over and over again, probably driving him crazy. And then when I talked to him about all the things that were going on, like I said, this dude, to my understanding, is probably not, he doesn't share my Christian belief, as I understand it. But even he admitted that we were probably being hit by electronic attacks, by spiritual attacks. Now, he had a different prescription for dealing with it. Go ahead.
What did he say to do? What did he say about spiritual attacks?
Well, he was saying that, you know, that even though him being a very secular kind of guy, he said he even admitted that crying out to Jesus would help. And
that just blows my mind. People that admit that, but are not Christians.
Well, he said it depends. His idea was, is that it depended on the person. And so in his way, he was looking at a more, what I would call more woo-woo. Somebody might say that very same thing about me, but he was using another method altogether. But he was saying, yeah, it's probably a combination. He says, if you're asking me my professional opinion off the record, I'm going to tell you it is all of the above based on what you're telling me. So not knowing at that time how much of a component was spiritual, how much was this, how much was that, I went ahead and got this PEMF mat, one that didn't absolutely break the bank, but was highly functional and did and worked even better than the one that Gary Brecka sells, because this guy, this is what he does. This is his wheelhouse. And of course, he gets something of a commission by selling them, but he only represents the best brands.
Right.
Out there.
He's only going to recommend something that actually works.
Well, and considering there's a money back guarantee,
right?
Well, you know, he's going to do his best to try to make sure I got the right one. So there's, this is about as top of the line. Well, anyway, Michelle, you laid on that thing and it has different settings. You could, there's a setting for sleep. There's one for activation, one for performance, one for, there's like five different settings right. that come with this thing and you can customize it based on. So after having, I don't know, I'd say a better part of a week of using this thing, what's your assessment so
far? I think the relaxation and the sleep one, the first time I used the sleep one, I fell asleep for a few minutes on it. And like the activation and the performance, I noticed slight differences, but
it can be dialed in to your
preferences. Yeah, and it hasn't been dialed in yet.
Not for
right?
you yeah. personally, no.
Yeah. So, but like I noticed the sleep and the relaxation the most.
The sleep thing, I was a little dubious about this thing because I'm looking for any reason to send this thing back, you know, for the money it costs. And I'm like, man, this thing better work or it's going to be on the first thing smoking right back to the factory. And I did. It's not the energy 9 times out of 10 that I'm struggling with. It's not, I need energy, except notwithstanding moments before this podcast. And I laid on the activation thing and it seemed to have worked because my brain seems pretty straight right now, but I will concur. And I was asking Michelle, how's it going? I'm not asking leading questions like how well is it working or something like that. I'm saying, how do you feel? And I'll put it, the first night I used that thing, it was the best night of sleep I had in as long as I could remember. And I was like, wow. And then the next couple of nights, like I told you in the beginning of this podcast, we're going at 100 miles an hour. It's going on 10 o'clock, and I'm like, man, I don't have 24 minutes to lay on this thing right now. I'm just going to go to bed. And I did notice a difference. So the easy things you can do, folks, we've talked about it before, grounding, breathing, getting that sun, doing all those things. But, folks, I'm going to throw another thing in there, and this is high in my wheelhouse. I mean high in the wheelhouse, is dirty power. Look, I can go through and give you all the technical reasons what makes dirty and clean power. Just know that in a lot of cases, you got dirty power, and just be patient with me. It's something I'm working on because I want to make sure I get it right, and I want to make sure that I convey it in such a way to where anybody that watches that video can buy a meter. You're probably, like I said, there's no getting around buying $100, $150 meter to figure out what it is. That's going to be your number one way to go about it, to pinpoint what the culprits are. So at the very least, you can turn this thing off, or whatever your problem child is, you could turn it off at night. But before we knew any of this stuff, Michelle, what were we doing? We turned off all the power in the house, and we were operating on the solar generator, and it was running like a fan. Michelle's got some kind of cough or something going on. So if she seems a little disjointed, you know the reasons why. Anyway, I'd turn off all the power. I mean, all of the power, except for what was in the garage. And we were like, okay, that's a big difference in how we're sleeping.
Yeah, that was when you turned the power off, that was the best I had slept in quite a while. I wasn't wanting the power to come back on, honestly. I could get used to not having power at night.
Well, to give you, for those that are new to this, I mean, to give you a basis of, to give you a basis of comparison of what's bad, when we had those fluorescent lights out in the kitchen and they were on, I mean, we were like, man, we can't, you were saying you didn't even want to be in the house. Yeah. You wanted to sleep on the porch.
Well, yeah. And be outside because it was just so much more peaceful outside.
So like I said before, and I said this episode ago, you ever notice how peaceful it is in your house when the power goes out?
That's exactly what it felt like.
It sucks that the power is out, but you automatically, you take this big sigh of relief. That's why Earth ships run on DC power. Okay. I mean, you know what? My man is a brilliant guy that came up with the Earth ship. I can't think of his name right now. But anyway, that's why they run on DC power. That's part of the reason. And you're completely grounded 100% every time you're in there because it's earth and floor, the whole nine yards. That's why people love Earth ships. That's one of many reasons why they love them so much. But folks, at the very least, do the things I said if you want to try to sleep better, because in our place, that thing was pegging out at 800 during the day. And like I said, depending on whom you ask, it's under 100, it's under 50, it's under 25. And I'm working on getting this thing down to under 25 completely, or shielding. I'm working on some shielding stuff too. There's a lot going on here, y'all, but sorry to spend so much time on that. But look, there's so many people out here doing this work, and you feel run down, you feel beat up. And I'm trying to do everything I possibly can to share what I'm learning to each and every one of you out there, especially the things that don't cost a dime or things that have minimal cost. Like I said, you're going to have to buy a meter almost certainly. And then I'm going to show you how to figure out where the problem child is. All right. So coming up on August 29th through the 31st, Homesteaders United Jamboree. Okay. We've been talking about that a lot here lately, and we're going to talk about it a lot more, y'all. There's not been a festival like it. It's basically, man, I'm so excited about what's going on there. I know a lot of crazy things are going on in the world, but my goal in this is not that you just go there like any other festival. I want you to leave there absolutely empowered. If you take notes, you should know how to process any four-legged animal.
Right.
If you take notes or video, whatever you prefer, you should know how to walk out of there knowing how to do compost as good as we do it. That's my goal. Mike's going to show you how to walk out of there and know how to do a chicken and ducks. Folks, this will be one of the most empowering conferences. Right. That's exactly what we try to do here.
Right. And also to keep it small so that it's not overwhelming with 1,000 people, to in part help build community too.
Right. And you know what? Trust me, y'all, we got to pay the bills on this thing. So renting this place ain't cheap. Getting in the chefs ain't cheap. That's probably the majority of our cost.
Right.
Is bringing in chefs, because we didn't have to do, we could have just done, put a bunch of food trucks out there and let it rock and roll. And everybody would have been fine. But we wanted to really make it very intimate, you know, campfires, all that kind of good stuff, man. We wanted to do all that stuff. So that's what it's going to be all about. So Homesteaders United market calendar, August 29th through the 31st. All the early bird tickets are done, but even at full price, it's still half. No, to be honest with you, it's about two-thirds cheaper than what anybody else would charge you for an event like this. So, yeah, we gotta charge something, folks. There ain't no, we can't do this for free, and plus a workman is worth his hire. And honestly, every time I've done anything for free, nobody appreciates it.
Yeah, that's true.
Besides, we can't do it for free anyway. We got to pay the bills on this place because it costs money. So also, before we get into the good news, I want to remind you, Redemption Shield, Michelle, where are my feet right now, but yours ain't?
What? Mine are on.
You here. Just put them on there right now. They're on this Redemption Shield mat, y'all. So you know what I feel about grounding, especially the inexpensive stuff. If you can get out there right now, put your feet on the ground, fine. You may be working in an office environment. Kick those shoes off. If you work in there, ground yourself. That way, all the harmful crap that's coming off, all that stuff you're working in, is not staying attached to you. It's being, you're grounding yourself immediately. Like I said, I could talk about live blood microscopy and what that looks like and what it looks like after just a couple of minutes of grounding, and it is night and day. So whether it's a grounding mat, you don't even have to take your shoes off. You can have it at your computer, at your desk.
Yeah.
You can put it up there and, you know, have
your hands on it.
Yeah, have your arms, your forearms on it. Any number of ways. I mean, you may have those feet that smell like some funky corn chips or something like that.
Or you don't want to take them off. You might not be able to take your shoes off.
Yeah, maybe one of those things. But this is even in an office environment or if you live in an apartment. So Redemption Shield, y'all. I'm a journeyman electrician, been one for 27 years. And they didn't reach out to me. I reached out to them because they allowed me to actually test their stuff and do a tell-all video, good or bad. So Redemption Shield, get all the grounding stuff, y'all. That's what I'm talking about. All right, so let's get into the good news. Yeah, my good news sense of humor, so to speak, might be a little bit weird for some folks, but I'm just going to break it out anyway. So hundreds of illegals have made Boston's Logan Airport, International Airport, their home. Man, you look at these pictures, they are stacked up like cordwood.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, reason I'm calling that good news is that even the leftist mayor of Boston is like, and even the governor is like, come on, man. Mr. President, you got to do something here, man. This is ridiculous, man. They're stacked up like wood on the side of this house. And because everybody's so woke, everybody is starting to get fed up. Now, it hasn't hit a point of critical mass. I'm calling that good news is because at this point, when you have a society that's this decadent, only the crucible of really hard times will wake people up. So I'm calling that good news.
Yeah, because that's New York City and Boston now, right? So, I mean, the major cities being infiltrated is stacking up.
Yeah, and their wokeness, until it hits home in the worst kind of way, they ain't going to wake up. And then, you know, like black folks in Chicago, man, it's like one person said, and I don't remember who it was a black guy in Chicago. He says, they're doing the same thing there. And they're like, I'll tell you what, they're setting up a tinderbox because the first black girl in the black neighborhood that is raped by one of these illegals, they're going to have an all out war. And they don't care about what the gun laws are at that point. And now you're blaming the wrong people. Obviously, the person that did it should be the one that's being dealt with. But honestly, it's your politicians that you keep voting in there. Start with those people. Bring justice. I ain't saying I'm not for mob justice, y'all. I want to make it very, very clear that you want to start with the politicians that made it possible.
Right, exactly. But yeah, make the politicians pay for the stuff that they're allowing in their cities.
Right. And these chickens are about to come home to roost. That's why I'm calling it good news. And I'm not saying Republicans are the answer because they aren't. They're all in it together. But I'm not caring about party affiliation. I was a libertarian, but not anymore.
Yeah, what's going on with your party there?
It ain't mine. Ain't my party no more. I just got to change my affiliation, man. It's going to be
woke libertarian party.
Yeah, very, very woke. I mean, it started going down a while back. I should have changed back then. All right. So the next, this is actually good news. Kinda. And you're going to understand what I mean by kinda here in a minute. 8 edible plants to look for when you go hungry in the desert. First of all, okay, Michelle, you're giving me a look right now. Let me go ahead and read this, and then you can unpack that look. So the first one is going to be agave. Next one is cactus. I've eaten cactus before, and I actually had that in Kansas. Desert chia, desert hackberry, net leaf hackberry, mesquite tree. Yeah, you ain't just going to eat that straight up. Screw bean, mesquite tree, and wolfberry. All right, go ahead and unpack that.
Okay, the desert that I was in, there was one plant that I saw. There was not 8 to pick from. There certainly wasn't any agave growing over there.
My question is, from a preparedness standpoint, a desert is a worse. Well, it depends. Everything in permaculture depends. A desert might be a really awesome place if, and this is a big if you have an unbelievable source of water, because if you don't have water, if you're relying on it being trucked in or being piped in, you're in a bind, nephew. But if you have an unbelievable, unstoppable source out there, the fact that people aren't fundamentally going to just go to a desert to go look for resources is not a bad idea. But that's also the reason why we choose the mountains, because people fundamentally in trouble, they don't necessarily go uphill.
Right.
People typically go downhill. There's more to unpack in that. Maybe that's probably an entire episode there. But I'll give you a prime example. When I was in Safford, Arizona, at the base of Mount Graham, I was working on an earth ship. Even though that earth ship caught all of its water off that roof, it was still not sufficient for the amount of rainfall that they get in a desert. And in fact, in every desert locations I've been, they plan for flash floods, and they basically funnel all that water away. Nobody keeps it on their property. It's the dumbest design I've ever seen in my life in most cases. Now, I'm not talking down to some of you folks in the desert. You might be sufficient out there, but by and large, unless you have a historical, like some of the natives out there, a historical understanding of that topography, that is the last place on earth I'd ever be if things were to go sideways.
Yeah.
I mean, the last, like I said, an earth ship can't even provide, I don't even know, it might have been half of the water he actually needs in a rain event. But you know what was crazy is that I was talking to the guy out there, Peter, and I was like, Peter, in the rainstorm that happened just while I was here, bro, if you had catchment ponds all throughout this place, dude, you could and get some carbon in here, you could turn this into a freaking oasis, kind of like what they did at this. We went to this convent that was out there. They wouldn't let me film. They said you could film for personal use, but they did not want it on the internet. There was these, it wasn't a convent. They were Greek Orthodox. I don't know what they call it, but it was a monastery. And they did that very, everything that could catch water, every structure that could catch water, they were saving it.
Okay. And that was going to be my point also. When you go out west, it's not like the Midwest or it's not like the East where you can catch water. Laws in the West are much, much different than they are. And that's the whole reason we didn't move to Colorado when we were looking to move.
Well, we didn't stay in Colorado either.
Well, no,
that's part of the reason.
But also to go back, you know, we didn't go back there just because of the arid environment and the water laws. Like some of those states, you know, say what you want, but it's not legal to catch water, to intercept it from where it's going.
Well, some laws are absolutely unjust and I don't obey them.
I agree, but I'm not sure that that's a battle I want to take on if I'm in certain situations.
Yeah, it's insanity. It really is. And that's where, because honestly, when we were looking to leave Oklahoma, Colorado was right at the top of my list. We loved it there in Colorado at, you know, at a mile high near Colorado Springs. But Michelle made a great point. It was all those ones out west, man, where the water, the issues, and so I always loved the mountains, but we ended up in the mountains in a place where we are essentially in a temperate rainforest where water in this part actually comes quite easily.
Yeah, people take it for granted, the water, because it is so plentiful.
Well, that's what Eric said. One of his biggest takeaways of living in Jordan was how precious water is. When you're in a place like that, that's what blew me away out in Arizona, man. I was like, man, all these houses around this earthship and everybody is 100% reliant on these wells. If you had an EMP over there, nobody would survive for the most part. Nobody. So consider that in terms of preparedness. I'm glad I brought that up because there's a whole lot to unpack in that story. We could actually do an entire couple of programs on that thing alone in terms of water. And even if you live in the Midwest, y'all, you're still reliant on whatever. I mean, like I said, it wasn't that there wasn't enough rainfall out there. It was just nobody did anything to catch it. There was one guy who did. He actually had an orchard out there. It was very impressive. And I should have got more footage of it than I did. I'm not sure actually that I got any at all. But there was mulch after mulch after mulch. It was the same thing in that monastery. Mulch everywhere. Greenhouses everywhere. Every structure had some way to capture water. And that's what you got to do in those situations. Okay, good news number three. Oh, my goodness. Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach accuses Pfizer of misleading vaccine marketing in a lawsuit that he's bringing forth. Now, let me unpack this a little bit. We used to live in Kansas, and Chris Kobach, I've spoken to him on a number of occasions. I didn't have the highest opinion at the time. Number one, he's a Rhodes Scholar. That concerned me.
Okay, but you have to tell...
Well, number two, every political office you could seek in Kansas, he went after, whether it was 3rd District Congressman, you name it. And he was also a instructor at university. My younger brother actually went to law school and he was one of his professors there. And he talked a really good game. And there were contradictions that I saw in him, or at least that I perceived. I don't want to say for sure, but I'm not surprised that he's one of the ones bringing this lawsuit, because honestly, if Kobach had his way, I think he would love to be governor in Kansas, and he might do a good job. I'm not 100% sure of his loyalties. I've always been a little bit concerned about the guy. Like I said, I've talked to him on numerous occasions. He had a call-in radio show even at AM 710
I remember that.
In Kansas City, and I called him all the time. And, you know, some of the things he thought were effective measures weren't. And to his credit, you know, I gotta give him a hat tip here. I truly hope that this thing has teeth, because if he brings it up, and then the AG down in Texas, I can't think of his name right now, but he seemed like he was doing. They tried to impeach the dude when he talked about coming against Pfizer. But Kobach, Attorney General in Kansas, I'm going to give you a hat tip so far, because I have yet, like I said, anybody that's a Rhodes Scholar, I'm a little bit concerned about.
Because,
well, you look at who Cecil Rhodes was and what that Rhodes Scholarship was intended to do. It was Cecil Rhodes. And I'm not prepared, but I'll just go on my memory. But Cecil Rhodes and the other council of scumbags like him engineered the Boer War, which was in South Africa. And the books are open. You can read their letters where they were like, I don't really care how many they kill as long as you do it in the interest of England. I'm paraphrasing it, but you get the point. And then he, even though he died relatively young, he left all this money back. I mean, the guy had unbelievable wealth, and that's where the Rhodes Scholarship comes from. But it was he and the other henchmen like him that absolutely, positively engineered World War I. And I could do an entire podcast. I know people keep asking me to do that, but it's kind of outside the depth of what we talk about on this podcast, but I'm just going to give you the cliff notes. Go examine it for yourself. Cecil Rhodes, well, anyway, you look at his history, and if you engineered World War I, which the Treaty of Versailles ensured that there would be a World War II, and it all came from that guy. So the Rhodes Scholarship, Bill Clinton was a Rhodes Scholar. There's been some decent people that have also been Rhodes Scholars, but I've always had my, I'm curious if Kobach was ever part of the Young Leaders program through Klaus Schwab or anything like that. I haven't seen everything under his fingernails, but I've always been suspicious of this guy, and he's always been seeking high political office. Now, that reminds me of a quote written by J.R.R. Tolkien. I'm going to loosely quote it. But he said, the most improper job of any man is bossing other men. Not one in a million is fit for it, and least of all those that seek the opportunity. I probably butchered it, but I think you get the point.
I get the point, but I don't know what his motives are. I don't know if anybody can truly say what his motives are, but I'm glad he did it because somebody needs to, there definitely needs to be a reckoning for what they did.
Yeah. I just want to know, where was Kobach and all the others when people like Karen Kingston and all these other excellent doctors were screaming this years ago?
Yeah.
3 years ago. Where were you then? I'm glad you finally got on board. I don't know what you were waiting on, but hey, I'm glad you got there. So far, I'm going to give a hat tip to Kobach. Like I said, it's a love-hate relationship with that guy in the past. I even endorsed him one time when I was doing radio, man, and I think I came to regret it. Like I said, there's a whole lot there, but man, I'm going to give a hat tip to him. Anyway, with that, we're going to go to my man, Eric.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, can we own the means to our production? That used to just mean the factory. Now the means of production is the internet. There's almost no way to conduct business without using the internet, whether that's social media, a website, phone, email, or payment processing. You could have a store and only accept cash, but as long as property taxes exist, you don't really own that land anyway. There are definitely levels of dependency and autonomy you can set up. In permaculture, we ensure every critical function is supported by multiple elements. Just like having only one type of fruit tree makes you vulnerable, so too does relying on one social media platform. They can turn you off without notice or means of recourse at will. Utilizing multiple social media sites is better. Adding your own website and email list is better still. And then having multiple payment processors would be the next step. If any step along your system has one point of failure, then you are vulnerable. And there seems to be less and less options as power and resources continue to be consolidated into the hands of the few. I don't think we can truly own the means to our production, but the more we can diversify it, the more resilient we can be. It all starts with deciding that you are going to take responsibility for your own life, then growing your own food, connecting with your local community, and deciding together what and how you're going to solve your own critical problems. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. If you need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
That's my dog right there, y'all. Wow. I mean,
yeah, a lot of good points in that one.
That's the thing. Eric drops an entire podcast.
Yeah.
In a minute, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Starting with the property taxes. We could do a whole podcast just on property taxes.
You can't even breach that topic with most people, or they'll call you un-American. I'm like, yeah. Okay, so I don't, first of all, you don't need my tax money if you're just going to print the money anyway.
Right.
So, you know, good night, man. I don't even know where to start with that. There's so much. I'm like wishing, this is one of those times where I wish I would listen before, because yeah. I always want to make it very spontaneous when I listen to him. And like you said, boy, this would have been really appropriate in some of the recent podcasts that I just did. So we don't coordinate these things, folks. I mean, it's just whatever Eric feels like people ought to know. And he brings up another point there on the home front, kind of briefly touched on it a little bit more, but we had a bumper crop of strawberries last year.
Right.
This year, not so much.
Yep.
And
it was our own fault, though. I mean,
partially. I don't know that you're correct. I wonder if they were over-pollinated last year by the bees, just like Stefan talks about, because you can over-pollinate something 1 year and then not get something for the next year or two.
Well, we'll see next year. Yeah. I mean, but like, we've been digging, the area where there's the most strawberries is the area where we dig up for comfrey. So it's disturbed. This is like the second, it was highly disturbed last year. This year it was. So, I mean, we'll see next year if we get strawberries. We need to put them in a place where we're not disturbing them, though.
Yeah. And we're going to ultimately get there. If we can acquire this land next door, right, then we can just leave everything alone. But that's where we harvest a lot of our comfrey. I don't think we're doing so much damage that I think maybe it was over-pollinated last year, and then we're going to suffer. But going to Eric's point, like you talked about multiple payment processors, you don't just have one cultivar of fruit out there. So even though, and we're going to do this video, hopefully it comes out by tomorrow or Saturday morning. We don't know which. I mean, we intended to film it today, but it probably ain't going to happen. That being, to Eric's point, is that that's why permaculture is superior in many ways. Because even though we don't have strawberries, because I told people out there, hey, yeah, we had so many, man. When we get another crop, man, come by. We'll let you know. You come on by. That ain't going to happen this year.
No, but
so
we
also.
So
instead of 100 gallons, we're going to get 5 maybe.
Yeah, but we also freeze dried enough last year.
To last for 20 years.
And there's like, I made strawberry jam and we don't even eat strawberry jam really. So we've got enough to last us for the lower years.
And the strawberry jam you made was like Stephanie's recipe at the bakery, right?
Well, I made a batch and then she told me how she did it, but I wasn't able to talk to her before I made it. Now I know how she does it.
Well, whatever you made is absolute ambrosia, but
well,
the point,
it's not Stephanie's.
Well, it's, I think it's fantastic. I really do. I don't know which one is better. Yeah. Good answer.
I know which one's better.
Yeah. But to that point, okay. So we don't necessarily have strawberries coming out of our eyeballs, but we got blueberries blowing up.
And there's plenty of raspberries down there.
Raspberries
peaches. I mean, there's a ton of peaches on this one tree outside of the kitchen window. It looks like it's going to break.
And you know what's really beautiful about that tree is that this is what, year 5 we've been here?
I think so.
Okay, so year 5. Every year since we discovered this tree, first of all, we discovered it in among all the junk that was around it. Somebody threw a peach pit up there, and this thing, I mean, you would get one peach off of it, maybe two, maybe three if you were lucky. And we would have coddling moth problems all the way around it. So I went ahead and I wanted to see if I improved the soil around there, you know, tons of compost, tons of mulch, what would it do? And then obviously a lot of corrective pruning, which it clearly needs and still needs. So far, there ain't no coddling moth problems. So going right back to Fukuoka 101, fix that soil and usually other things follow. So far, I'm not seeing any problems on any of the peaches, but to Eric's point, 2 is 1. I mean, this is why I say permaculture is preparedness. So we don't have a bumper crop of strawberries, but we got a bumper crop of blueberries.
Right.
And even that bumper crop of blueberries that we got coming up, and that's just the berries. And like you said, we got raspberries, multiple cultivars of everything.
Right.
That come out in different parts of the season.
Well, yeah, there's the spring raspberries and then there's the fall ones. The fall ones, last year, I would walk down the driveway at night to take Milk Boy out to the sheep or whatever. And a lot of times I would just eat cherry tomatoes from the high tunnel and raspberries that I picked. And that was dinner.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, for you, it was, you know, you ain't going to catch me just eating a dinner on that, but.
But it's like the Back to Eden, Paul, it's like he talks about when you eat
nutrient
you
dense,
don't need a whole lot when you eat stuff that is actually high in vitamins and minerals.
That's right. Like Paul Gauci would talk about, he would eat an apple and a potato
and what
indefinitely every single day, and it was enough. That's
yeah, and I remember himself. Like watching that, and I'm like, man, come on, you got to eat more than that. But like last summer, like at night, I would eat a bunch of cherry tomatoes and raspberries. And it's true. I mean, it does fill you up.
Yeah. So, to Eric's point, y'all, multiple, and it's funny he mentioned that because we're kind of looking into all that stuff because, man, the things are getting so stupid right now. We're even looking at maybe even trying to brick and mortars place at some point. A lot of other hurdles in there, other things in the fire that we don't really want to talk about. Not yet, because, you know, they're not off and running yet. All right. So before we get into the main topic, first of all, big hat tip to my man, Eric, y'all. Like I said, he does a whole podcast in a minute. Boy, I could learn something from him. So EMP Shield, y'all, look, things jump off. You're not going to the club. You just want to get home or get to your bug out spot. Lightning hits your house. You know what? Find me another anybody else in the market that's going to cover you for 25 G's if anything gets Kentucky fried in your house. Nobody else does that except EMP Shield. That's why, as a 27-year journeyman electrician, IBEW trained, that's why I reached out to them. Just like with Redemption Shield, I reach out to them. They don't reach out to me. And that's every advertiser on this thing. Not one of them reached out to me. And if they did, nine times out of 10, the answer is no. Until, well, no, I mean, a lot of people hit us up wanting to advertise, and the answer is no. And
unless you test it.
Like, unless I seriously test it. And it's also got to be something that's really, really deep into my wheelhouse.
Right.
So, you know, having that electrical background and knowing that that's where everybody's like woefully not adequate, including myself. Once I get myself trained up, okay, if I find somebody that has a product that's going to solve this problem, I'm going to let folks know about it. I'm going to go with the free stuff first, but some things you do have to buy. All right, so EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. All right, so this one, this topic is really kind of on the heels of the video that we put out on Friday because it opened up so many questions, and honestly, the outpouring of so many people, it really dumbfounded us. For those that don't know, we put out a video last Friday. Usually it's a video of farm of what we're doing here. But because of what was happening with Pastor Lon, which is why he hasn't been leaving his update on here, folks. I mean, I didn't want to go out and tell y'all, but that's what he's been dealing with all this time. And I think there tends to be a high spiritual component. I wonder if there's an electrical component. I wonder if there's a lot of things going on in there. But it hit a point of critical mass when you see the people you love, the friends you love, and all these other folks around you having such an awful time. And we're like, well, forget about what we were going to do, man. We're just going to get on this porch and we're going to speak from the heart. And in all honesty, man, I really came close to editing out that last part because I legitimately got choked up. But I didn't want somebody thinking, oh, he's pulling a Justin Rhodes. Right. He's going to go out here and do some gratuitous vulgarity to try to put butts in seats. That was not it. I am a big believer of Psalm 91 and all the other Psalms. And if I weren't, I wouldn't be memorizing all of Psalms right now. Just to that point, I almost edited that part out because I didn't want it to seem like, man, there's so many doggone people that are doing some shenanigans on YouTube. I didn't want to appear like them, but it was genuine. And so I wrestled with that for a little while. And I even told you, I'm like, yeah, I'm thinking about cutting it out. What do you think?
I said, just, you know, watch it and just do whatever you think. I think it's kind of important to leave it in though, because but I knew where your heart was and I knew it wasn't in a place where it wasn't coming from the wrong place.
No, it wasn't. It was genuinely authentic, but with so many people doing so many things on YouTube that I'm just not a fan of, I just didn't want to fall in that camp. And there's a lot of well-known people doing that very same thing right now. And I would rather not get another subscriber. If it means I will go and put my tools back on and go back to doing what I was doing because I'm good at it and I make a good living doing it. And there's plenty of work for me if I wanted to do that. I love permaculture is my passion. That's what I want to do. I want to show everybody else out there how to make a living doing it. As we do. With that said, I'm not going to beat a dead horse. What I didn't expect was the unbelievable outpouring. I thought there would be, like, normally, I mean, YouTube keeps us so suppressed that you get a handful of comments, maybe 100 at the most, man. I did not expect 1,000 people. So hundreds of people asking for us to pray for them.
And there were also emails. And I just want to say to everybody that sent emails, I will respond. I'm working my way through them. So just be patient because I will. We did get them and we are responding.
And it
was
a deluge. I mean, an absolute deluge, folks. I had no idea. So we went out there. This was totally not planned by us, but I was humbled. And so was Michelle in the most massive way. Number one, that people would share such intimate things. That you feel us worthy to help bear your burdens. I mean, I get a little bit choked up now that people thought us worthy to pray for them. And I was floored so much that everything that I had planned to do Saturday, which is a day of rest for us,
right?
It was put on its head a different way. We were going through comment by comment by comment. And it was too much for us to go through. And I'm still going through them.
Right.
I was caught up yesterday, but I suspect there's been a number It also lets you know how much YouTube's playing games with the algorithms, because when you have over 1,000 comments on there, you would think there'd be more than 10,000 or 11,000 people that saw this video.
Right. But the important thing is, like, on Saturday, we wrote down, I spent a little bit of time Friday night responding to some of them. And then Saturday, we wrote down everybody's prayer requests.
Almost all day long.
Right. And then prayed Sunday, for them.
And Sunday did the same thing.
Yeah.
It was, and it wasn't like, oh, shucks, what, you know, I opened up a can of worms here. That was not my attitude, and it still isn't. I just felt humbled that so many people, first of all, I couldn't believe how many people are going through the same exact thing. Because I know a lot of people personally that are dealing with a lot of crazy things, like things just weirdly breaking on a homestead. There's a couple of emails I'm probably going to get to here about that very thing. And, you know, I can go on and on about that. And folks, we are humbled and we're thankful that we can pray for you. And please pray for us and pray for the other people. I hope people didn't miss that part. Pray for the other people that, and I know a number of people responded that way, but don't just leave your own request. Go through, if you can't pray for everybody, find somebody, see where the Lord leads you and pray for that person.
And some people did. I saw quite a few responses of people that left comments on other people's comments saying that they were going to pray for them.
Yes. And it was just, man, it just blew my mind. And Michelle had this idea that we ought to do it on every Friday video. I mean, let's, you know, do what we're going to do, but also put in your prayer request.
Yeah. Do something so that this can be a constant thing where people, because a lot of people, you know, where I grew up in church, there used to be like this phone thing where if you had a prayer request, I can't remember what it was called, but basically it was typically women that would start the prayer chain and get people praying for whoever, whatever needed to be prayed for. But a lot of people are not in church anymore and they don't necessarily have that prayer chain support. And so I've wanted for a long time to figure out how we could do that with our community, because there's a lot of people like us who do not have a church. So, you know,
we got a church. It's online. It's Pastor Chuck Baldwin.
Yeah. But Liberty we don't Fellowship. Know those. We don't know those. I can't call up that congregation and say, hey, can you pray for whatever?
Right. And also, like with Scipio Eruditus, I do his Bible study every Sunday. And if anybody wants to be a part of that, email me and I'll get you contacted. I'm actually going to have him on the show next week and talk about this very thing, but it's probably going to be in a Bible study. I mean, if it's going to be different, I'll let him speak for himself when he's on the show. But what I came away from all this, y'all, is we all have, you know, Shakespeare, whenever he would write about a character, they always had to be, there were certain criteria. One of those criteria was that character had to have a tragic flaw. Look at every single one of Shakespeare's histories. You're going to find that. Every character had to have a tragic flaw. And this one, that video did a good job of explaining to me, because if it's mine, it almost certainly is somebody else out there in some way or another. But Michelle will tell you that I am the last person on earth that will ever ask for help. How many times has Ben from Renewed Homestead offered to help me? Numerous times. And I've never once reached out that I can recall, maybe once, but I don't recall what it was. But Ben has been beating me over the head all this time. And Ben and Denise are fantastic, both, selfless friends.
Yeah, both of them do. It's not Ben, Denise does too. Anytime they are the first ones to volunteer to help. Yeah,
they're like, hey, if you got anything going on, let me know. Yeah. Ben keeps reminding me. Folks, even when I was working on a job, man, I never asked for help. If I asked for help, you better believe it. There was no way possible that I could come up with that I could do it myself. And if I did get help, it might have been for 15 minutes where I needed help lifting something on a wall to hang a panel, an electrical panel or something like that. But all of this was very humbling for me, because it made me realize, man, because I was honestly out there appealing to everybody else out there, first of all, to say, man, I can't be the only one going through this. Mar family can't be. It can't just be Pastor Lon. It can't be all the other folks we know that are going through this right now. And then I find out, hey, first of all, way more than I ever could have bargained for were going through that at that time. And number two, the only other thing that made me aware of my own tragic flaw was that I don't ask for help when I need it. I asked for everybody's prayers, and look what it took for me to get to that point. And it's embarrassing, but I lay myself bare a lot of times on this podcast. It's not just me trying to provide information out there from my end. It's also very cathartic because I'm able to talk about things in here that I could never get away with on YouTube or, and it also feels it's a form of therapy, I guess, because we're so isolated out here. We could go a long, long time without ever seeing another soul. And, you know, notwithstanding the one day during the week I might go to town, for you, it may be weeks before you see another human being. And for me, it's once a week. And even then, I'm just trying to get in and get out.
Yeah.
Here, as of late, though, I've been praying. I'd be like, Lord, if I can be an assistance to anybody, please make it known to me. And whatever. But folks, that's what I'm trying to get at in this main topic. Now, think about the areas where you might need the help. Physically, I just talked about that. On the farm, physically, I never asked for help. When I threw my back out that time, yeah, William had to kind of step up and do all of it. So I'm trying to make sure I can be in the best shape I can possibly be so I don't find myself in that position. But also in that area, it's electronic. There's times where you and I both don't have a clue about how to do something electronically. I didn't know the first thing about editing. And I'm a little better at it, but I had to get some help. And I literally had to get some help.
The electronic stuff is such a struggle because you have to have it for what we're doing. I mean, you have to do it. But at the same time, there's this pull, like, where, especially when you go through what we just went through, it's like, man, get all these devices and like, just, I'm at the point where I don't even want the Wi-Fi anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like this, you have to have it, but at the same time, you're trying to minimize it as much as possible.
And how many times throughout the day do I say, hey, do you need the Wi-Fi on right now? So we turn that thing off, but we can't get phone calls either without the Wi-Fi.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like a double-edged sword. So we're like, okay, we're going to have a sabbatical for a couple hours and then we'll turn it on as needed. So yeah, getting help in that department. But honestly, it also led me, it was like, Michelle, and you actually, we were both discussing this before, maybe we need a brick and mortars place where people can actually go to the website. You can come by and maybe on that brick and mortar site, you can go see what a food forest looks like. And if there's something you want to buy here that you want to take home that'll work at your place, okay, it's right here. Or you want to go there for a class. I mean, these are things that we are actually mowing over because I'm like, man, this doing stuff so impersonal through a computer just bothers you a little bit. But but it is helpful in the terms, you know, this same nonsense can be turned on its head for good, like it was in that last video. You know, we put out videos that we say, okay, is this going to be helpful for people? That's why I put out the shorts, to be encouraging, to maybe make somebody think in a way they haven't before. So I'll try to put out a short every single day that's meant to lift you up and encourage you. And maybe ask critical questions about things. You know, the other place where we need help a lot of times, and I never seek this, is emotional. And you're bad about this too sometimes, because you'll suffer in silence. And then what happens?
What happens? What do you mean what happens?
I gotta yank it out of you. Michelle, what's wrong? Nothing.
I'm getting better, I tell you.
Yeah, but for years, I'm like, okay, I got to tease it out of you. And I'm like, look, can you once just come to me and say, I got this problem, without me looking on your face and seeing it? So you don't ask for help. But there has been a time or two as of late where you actually, hey, can we pray? You know, you don't do it as often as you should because you did it more, but both are getting better at it. I mean, it's when you've been doing something a certain way your whole life to create that new habit. Now, I will just say randomly throughout the day, instead of us just praying at night together, which is what we used to do, we pray in the morning and then multiple times throughout the day, I'll just stop you and then pray. We will pray together. And then, so that's another habit that we've created, and it's me appealing to you for help. Like I told you, I said, I feel something coming on here.
Yeah.
And it was earlier today. I was like, let's just pray. I ain't sure if it's that or I drank too much coffee.
It was probably the fact that I keep telling him over and over, you have got to watch your stimulants because he does not react well to stimulants. Even a little too much coffee can
Yeah. So I'm like, boy, I'm really knocking it out of the park, man. I'm getting all this stuff done. And then I'm like, dude, I'm feeling weird. I don't know. Well, we're just going to cover all those bases.
And then when you're talking about 50 different things all in one sentence, that's an indication that you.
Well, I do that on a good day. So I got to slow my mind down. And that's where I had to get help too. That's where going through some of the work of Joe Dispenza. Now, there's part of his work that I do dispense. I don't engage in all of it, but it was very, very helpful in me being able to, okay, I can do one thing very well. I can't do more than one thing. Like most women I know are able to multitask.
They are, but even women multitasking, something is still falling. You know, you're not as good as when you can give. I mean, if you've got five kids, obviously you're giving as much attention to what you're doing as possible, but like you're always going to be better if you can focus on that one task.
And that's what his work has allowed me to do, is to focus on that, focus on one thing and do it well. So, and then, you know, like I said, the farm help, there's all these areas where I'm now examining myself, and folks, I'm hoping a lot of you out there are doing the same. Like, man, you know, I could use some, I think they did, you know, with that last video. So it was your idea to maybe just do a prayer call in every video and say, look, I mean, really, it's been an honor to do it. And I'm like, man, it's the most fulfilling thing to be able to pray for these folks. And they're praying for us. And why are we not putting on this full armor? Why are we not using it? So I'm hoping that maybe other YouTube channels will do it, or maybe, I don't know. That's what I'm hoping, is that to beat back this enemy that seems so incredibly pervasive. Man, that's where it's got to start.
Yeah.
People say it's the least I can do. No, it's all you can do. It's the most you can do. It really is. Farm help, and then that spiritual help, y'all. That's what we brought to bear, and that's what we're bringing to bear, and that's what I want to continue. I'm like, okay, let's keep up the momentum and see if we can get more people praying for one another, because I thought for like every other video, it kind of sloughs off. Man, there's still people leaving comments on there, and I'm going to have to get caught up. I gave you my word. I will pray for you, and I will keep my word. So that's what I want to get at, y'all. Ask for some doggone help, and I'm talking to me. All right, so let's go into Q&A here. My friend Darren, you've heard me talk about him, and I've even talked to him a number of times. He's Hacks for the Homesteaders, one of the most capable human beings I've ever known in my life. You name it, y'all, he is. You talk about an autodidact. Man, if it's anything mechanical, believe me, Darren will figure out a way. Well, he heard about this, and he gave me a bunch of links to check out, and he gave a whole lot of verses in the Bible of what to do, but he was talking about, and I'm just going to, I mean, it was such a joy to hear from him. I need to call him up and, you know, getting his prayers, and of course, we're praying for him and Patty and all the kids and everybody and Chris and all the other folks back there, but he was suggesting reading several of the verses so you know the protection that God's given us. And he was saying some people will, you know, do olive oil and the blood of Christ and put it on their land. And he was suggesting put like verses on posts and post them at the corner of the property.
That's an excellent idea.
Yeah.
We need to do that. There's a pastor out of Texas that I think does something similar to his city, where he'll stake the city with.
We need a whole army to go around Asheville right now. Boy, I mean, you talk about a stronghold. And Nathan was talking to me private about that, where, and you and I feel it too. Every time you go there, if we're not prayed up, man, but
even if we are, sometimes I just get,
but you sense it, but it's not the attack.
No,
it's like they can only go so far, but we got to pray, be prayed up. Carrie, I met him at Back to the Land. Apparently we're going to be at this one in East Tennessee coming up real quick. So looking forward to hanging out with Carrie. You know, he says, regarding all the negative energy, the panic attacks and related issues, I hear you, my friend, something very amiss, and I had to ramp up my own spiritual and prayer. So he's one of the ones that's, you know, his dad, he asked to pray for his dad. Of course we are. I don't want to go into that publicly because he sent it privately, but his dad and a number of other people out there are being absolutely inundated and crushed by a lot of what's going on here. So yeah, we're all over it. I mean, I honestly, there's so many people that didn't want to respond on the YouTube channel, but they sent emails, and we've, look, y'all, you're on the list. Believe me. Okay. So on another note here, This one's coming from Carrie. We're thrilled to have gotten some of your bone sauce. We're having trouble with the deer getting into the elderberry trees, bushes, and there's no way that we could put it on the elderberry at this time. Can we cut them? Okay. So here's what you do. What some people have done, first of all, if you have a woody part of that tree, you can still put the bone sauce on it. Keep in mind, folks, some people are buying this stuff thinking that you're never going to have any problems. What I tell you is it's not a panacea, but you can't buy anything better that I'm aware of. If there was anything you could buy off the shelf, I wouldn't be selling bone sauce. But it is the best, and I'm always tweaking this stuff to make it even better every single time. But what I suggest, if you have a woody part of that plant, put it on there. But if it's green, it's not going to kill the plant, but it will make it wilt. So just keep that in mind.
The problem with an elderberry is it's more like a shrub than it is like, so you might have to do stakes with that mule tape around it. Just because that, and also hazelnuts, you know, sometimes like there's not enough really to put the bone sauce on. So you might have to do.
You might catch it when it's dormant, or you can put stakes around it.
Right. Like that's what I'm.
And even that alone worked for us when we first had, we were getting killed over here, and the stakes worked. And then later on, they're like, okay, if they get hungry enough, I don't care what you got out there, y'all, they're going to come through. So, it's the best out there. And that's the best I could really offer. So another person, Carolyn, she said, I bought a jar of bone sauce and it seems to have kept the deer away for 5 to 7 weeks. In the meantime, I bragged to many who made purchases and I bought a second jar. And then she's finding out that, you know, well, it's like I said, 5 to 7 weeks, you may have to reapply this stuff. The claims in some cases, like in Scandinavia and some of those countries over there, that it can last for years and years. Well, our experience is, you know, I got to put it on maybe once or twice a year. And the price is what it is, y'all. I can't make it any cheaper. I mean, didn't we lowered the shipping costs?
No.
Met them halfway, or we did.
At one point we did, but not.
Yeah. I mean, folks, this stuff takes time and it takes money to make. So I got to charge something for it. I can't just give this stuff away. But yeah, if deer are super, super hungry, man, I don't know of anything that may stop them. So,
I think you're talking about shipping. I think it's free shipping over a certain, like $75. That must be what you're talking about.
Yeah. We got Bruce over here. He's talking about, well, a lot of these emails, y'all, they're basically, he came from a military naval special warfare background and he's been getting bombarded. And, so it's one of many other people. And of course, you know, you're in our prayers. Let's see here. Let's see here. Randy, he says, I caught the tail end of your last broadcast. We will be praying for you and your family and the pastor as well. God is able to do abundantly above all what you think. Hey, boy, Randy and Cindy, I can't even begin to describe how embarrassing it is for me. I have literally seen miracles. I've seen them. And I still struggle with faith sometimes. And it's embarrassing because I've done a de facto exorcism. I mean, you were there. I didn't mean to, but it turns out that I did. And that's a whole story unto itself. And I've seen miracles where folks, I don't even talk about it because I really don't know if anybody would ever believe it.
Well, I mean, even when William was in the accident that one time,
yes. You know,
that's another one, like how he didn't, I mean, yeah, that,
folks, to describe what this was, okay, William was driving down in one of the, was it S10?
Chevy it was S10? A Ranger, Ford Ranger. Ranger.
Okay. Yeah, he's driving down there. He went down, the wheel blew out, something gave way. He went down into this ditch, and he should have hit the abutment or the bridge at about head level. Somehow, there is no way we can even account for it. The Lord had to have put his angels around that vehicle and lifted it up out of this ditch, and how it got on the top of the bridge. There is no way humanly possible that could have happened. No way. No, how it did it defies. There was no way. It had to be a miracle. Folks, I can't adequately describe, but it happened. I seen it happen with Ben Holler and his family. They should have flipped that SUV. and it landed safely. I saw that with my own two eyes. There was no way that should have happened. I've seen other miracles, y'all. I mean, that's just, and you know, and going back to Randy and Cindy's point is that, yeah, God can do abundantly. And how many times as I'm going through the New Testament right now, how many times did Jesus talk about lack of faith? Oh, ye of little faith.
Mm-hmm.
How many times is that going to happen? And, you know, it happens over and over and over again. And I'm like, I still struggle with this. Lord, please. And there's times I catch it and then times I don't. So, yeah, that's really the crux of it right there. And then finally, we got one from Steve. Steven, boy, you talk about. Folks, I'm going to read this one because it honestly hits. I think he encapsulates what so many people actually wrote to us about. And I think I'm going to try to get through all of it. He says, I don't usually ask for prayer, but probably not enough. But I feel like everything I'm touching outside this year is turning out terribly. First my apples, now my pears have cedar rust on them, and I spray them with the raw milk. I've done so much to make the soil right, and the only thing out of the vegetables that I planted that are doing well are the trombocinos. If things were to hit the fan today, we would have to rely on the stuff we've stockpiled. And let me jump down here. Now, keep in mind, I'll just read this part. He says, I got home, went into the room by myself, and I broke down into tears, which I haven't done in a long, long time. The tree falling on our tent, which I was there for that. It was at one of the festivals. And the person hitting our car, totaling it. And, you know, he's grateful that nobody was injured or dead. But it's like every single, how many people do I know that have exactly the same doggone story? And it all seems to be happening right now, where the enemy is doing a full court press on all of these believers out there, and probably a lot of unbelievers as well, where the same, I mean, Stephen, if I had a nickel for all of the people that have said the same, like other folks, every single bit of farm equipment they have just all went kaput all at the same time. Vehicle went out. They ain't got the money for the car to replace it or the engine. And it's like all these things happen at once. And then he says, Billy, I want to be the father and the husband that God created me to be. But I just feel so defeated, like David in the Psalms. And boy, that'll blow you away. I know it's coming from the enemy. And, you know, basically, this guy is very selfless. Stephen, I've had the joy of getting to know him and his son. He's a very selfless man. Just, you know, extraordinary. And it just breaks your heart when you hear your friends. But Stephen, you're going to be in our prayers, I promise you, brother.
Yeah. And also, as far as, like, things take time, you know, especially with your soil. You're not going to fix it overnight. I mean, we're still fixing our certain soil parts, here. Yeah. Like, I planted peppers in the high tunnel this year, and there's one bed. I put them in. The bugs ate all of them. So I took those out, put green beans in. Like, it takes time to fix your soil. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take a few seasons. But, you know, I think that we're working towards like the goal of growing our own food. And I think, you know, I think we'll get there slowly. It's not going to go as fast as we want it to, but we're getting there. Well, but we feel the exact same thing you're going through.
Well, Stephen talks about the Japanese beetles and the spotted lanternflies are killing. He says they're killing them here, and he's apologetic, but bro, you don't have to be. Like Michelle, like I talked about before, that peach tree that I couldn't really get a harvest off of for 5 years. And now looks like we got a harvest without the bugs and all the fruit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it does take time. So just be patient on that. But you know what's really awesome? He says quitting is not an option.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get into the huddle in August with everybody. So he's going to be there.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's bringing the whole family, but he's going to be there. And I'm really, really looking forward to it.
And that to me is the most important thing of that is getting together with people, talking to them, and just building a community. A lot of times I always think that my problems are so big, and then I go and I like talk to friends or talk to other women, and it's like, oh my goodness, people are going through so much.
Well, Stephen kind of summed up I mean, his, I just got that email today and he just kind of summed up, I mean, in a nutshell, the zeitgeist,
yeah,
if I can use that term, of what exactly is going on out there by and large. It's like, okay, so I got this happening and bam, we get hit with another one. We get hit with another one. And it hit a point of critical mass for us to do that video. And then now maybe that video is as cathartic to everybody else as I think, I suspect that it was for us. So I'm thinking we're going to probably continue to ask people to put their prayer requests down below and we're going to keep on doing it. And Stephen, we're definitely going to be praying for you, yeah, brother.
Yep.
So look, y'all, oh, I know this thing went kind of long, but hey, I mean, that's what we do here sometimes. And sometimes it's just going to go long. And until next time, stay alert,
stay alive.
All the speech is the word. Now I gotta get up every morning.